Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this.
In 2016, Nancy Belmont, an American activist, launched a unique interactive art installation used to bring people in a community together. It quickly gained interest from around the world, including most of North America, Western Europe, India, and Australia. In September, a coalition of local organizations brought the installation to Northumberland. Located at the Farmers Market in Coburg, it involved a number of poles and a lot of yarn. A film was produced and it will be premiered this upcoming Monday at 7 p.m. at Venture 13 in Coburg, along with a talk with the Toronto-based author Dave Meslin on his recent book, Teardown. Here to tell us about this project, the film, and the presentation on Monday, I'm pleased to have in studio Megan Damon, coordinator Halliburton Kawartha Lakes Northumberland Drug Strategy, and David Sheffield, community director of the Greenwood Coalition. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
How does a couple balls of yarn and some poles help us to address the very serious issues in our community like opioids, homelessness, poverty, LGBTQ2+, and social justice issues?
That's a really big question, Rob.
It is.
One we will attempt to answer. So I think what really spurred us on the Unity Project and looking at Nancy Belmont's model was looking at some of the complex issues that we are facing in Coburg and in Northumberland at large. And I think where there can be a challenge is for community residents to get really activated and see themselves as part of the solution to some of these complex problems. And so when we look at things like substance use from a drug strategy perspective, we do see that being a very complex, multifaceted problem. And when we kind of look to the contributing factors of substance use, we can look at things like early childhood experiences, but one noteworthy thing is that we can also look at things like loneliness and social isolation. And so when we kind of look at those root causes of maybe harmful substance use or addiction, we can look at some ways that community building can become part of the solution to that, and that we all do have a role to play as both service providers but also community residents to shape a better community for all.
Okay, yeah. And that sounds good, and I can see a PowerPoint presentation, and I can see a podium, and I can see you talking to a group of people.
Great.
What we're talking about, though, are poles in the ground and a bunch of yarn.
Yeah.
So can you explain what actually happened and why that is significant within the context of what you just said?
Sure. And I think if you saw the Unity Project in its completion, you would see kind of the highlighting pieces of what it means to create unity in a community. And so what we really wanted to do was borrow from Nancy Belmont's idea and to show a visual representation of community. And I think the ball of yarn wrapped around posts, what it does is really creates this interconnected web. And so community members who are participating in the project, they'll wrap their yarn around something that they identify with or that resonates with them. And it might be, I enjoy a glass of wine at the end of the day, or it might be, I love my pet. And so I think as a community member, when you are intertwining that web around Earth or that yarn around that pole, it shows that you are a diverse person, but that you are also ultimately connected to a community or to a whole as well.
So for our listeners, if you can close your eyes and imagine this, there's these poles and they go in sort of a bit of a circle and they're a little bit askewed. And each one of them has a title to it. And then, like you were saying, maybe I'm LGBTQ or I'm male or I like cats or I like dogs. And then you take this yarn and you tie it around and then you start to connect all the different poles with your yarn. And then when everybody does this, it's got this really weird. David, maybe you could describe it better than I'm doing.
So it's if you can picture a 40-foot circle out on the lawn, and it's sort of our own skinny little Stonehenge kind of thing. 8-foot poles making up that 40-foot circle. So there's 32 poles every 4 feet. There's a pole, and then there's one in the center. And so the participants come along, tie off their yarn to the center pole, and then they wrap around each one of those poles that as you say has an identifier that they can identify with. So they might wrap around 5 or 6 poles, or they might wrap around 12 poles, whatever they feel comfortable sharing about themselves. And it essentially tells their story as they wrap that around. Here are 12 elements of my story. And then the next person comes and maybe picks a different color of yarn and does exactly the same thing. And then as we see, you know, the two people wrap around one of those poles, oh, there's two people that have something in common. And as each story layers, as each person comes in and their stories layer, it tells the story then of a community.
So a lot of this seems to be wrapping around identity politics and how it works in a community. Is there not something about it that you start to think, well, what we're really doing is we're slotting people into various identities and we're pigeonholing types of people? Do you worry at all that becomes a result of this kind of graphic representation rather than this sense of unity, which is sort of to be a positive instead?
I think I saw the opposite to that, actually, because if you had one of those poles that only one person wrapped around, that then is a bit isolating, like you say, and goes counter to what we're trying to do. But what we find is that as people wrap around, and we've had some pretty challenging things where people identified that, you know, they've been homeless. They identify that they've suffered some difficult things, and as each person wraps around that pole, you feel less alone. And as observers watch this happen and see these, especially some of those difficult ones, the one, you know, something about I'm a dog person isn't quite as moving as when, you know, 5 people wrap around I've been homeless, and it's telling the story of just the people that passed through there on that day. This is actually how they're connected, not how they're separated.
Social media locally, I mean, if you look and you watch how it plays, a lot of times we see evidence of this identity politics going on. And in particular, most recently, we've seen people becoming afraid to go downtown in Coburg because those people are making it scary to go downtown. How does, from your perspective, these kinds of projects make a difference in breaking down those barriers and trying to make it, quote unquote, less scary to go into places that we would normally feel comfortable in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was another primary objective of hosting this Unity event and really capturing it on film, is to sustainably kind of communicate that message, is that I think when we show up as community members and we're given the opportunity to identify what resonates with us or what identifiers help label us as individuals, I think what we're showing is that we're also giving an avenue for gifts to be realized, for assets to be identified. And I think when people are maybe looking at someone in their community and not recognizing these off the bat, this actually provides a good opportunity to have some of those exploratory conversations where we can, as ourselves, identify some of our own resources, but then we can also look to the resources of others in our community as well.
When we challenge people's identities, it can become very uncomfortable. I mean, there are people who experience guilt. You know, I'm a white Anglo man or woman who's led a life of privilege. Or, you know, it triggers fears of losing control of my world that I'm used to. Or in some places, it can lead to anger and subsequent a backlash. I mean, we see that in American politics right now, in Canadian politics. I mean, we just watched in the past week the Don Cherry incident where, you know, we saw some racist comments then, and people are still strongly supporting him and coming out. Does it ever concern you that these kinds of events merely stoke these kinds of more negative reactions rather than the positivity which I know the Unity Project is trying to create?
Yeah, that's always the risk when you step up and say, here's a positive solution to something that we identify in the community, that you're going to be provocative and that you're going to have some pushback. I think where I've landed on that is that we just need to keep moving ahead with a positive agenda and working with those folks that sort of see that and understand that we're all in this together, and just keep repeating that message. And the Unity Project is this kind of a fun, colorful projection of something positive, and so it feels easier to do that than take on a fight. And what we saw, and I think this is probably at the root of how I approach this, that we saw people stopping and watching and reflecting and thinking about, oh yeah, that's how our community works, or to be surprised that that well-dressed woman wrapped a piece of yarn around that thing. Oh, I misunderstood that, or something else like that. And so I think continuing to surprise ourselves with how much we have in common is really the way forward.
Interestingly enough, this wasn't the first time. I believe you did the same thing in Port Hope a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Comparing the two experiences.
Yeah, that's interesting. When we've done this before, it was a positive community building kind of thing that we thought, wouldn't this be fun to just sort of see, we all have things in common. Some of us are struggling and et cetera. And we had it worked very well. And that was sort of our first opportunity to experience. It's one thing to sort of watch this. So the Nancy Belmont project had a video, and we watched that and we thought, oh, that's really cool. We could do something, and it's generally positive. As you're actually doing it, it's a whole other experience because you're actually physically drawing a picture with a group of people of what that community looks like. And so that was kind of neat. And then as this project evolved this summer in Coburg, in the context of some really challenging, breakdown of community that's been happening, to go in and use this as a confrontational piece in a way was interesting for us. The making of this really felt similar to what we've done in the past, but there was a significance to this, and one of the things I remember was one of the people that was helping us with this lived at a transition house, the shelter in town, and I have a picture where I caught him explaining this to a couple of little kids, and nobody knew who anybody was in that particular setting, but he was helping these kids to get started with their yarn, and I just thought that's what we're trying to do here, and if we made a little bit of progress, that's terrific.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about yarn and
wool. Yeah, exactly.
It's that easy.
Okay. Now, I understand that there's been a movie made about this experience in September. Can you tell me a bit about this movie?
Yeah, so the movie was put together by Megan Murphy, an award-winning producer and also a film director through Murphy's Law. And Jeremy Kelly was there to assist and support with the filming as well. And so I think what was really important for us is to actually capture this community building and this community interconnectedness on film. But the film is also kind of part of a larger dialogue around community voices, their resources, and them being active in their community to address complex problems. And so the film also features some interviews with some key community partners as they talk about the complexity of the overdose crisis, but also some of the solutions or the simple solutions that community members can see themselves in to address that.
Are these people local that you've mentioned? I'm not familiar with the names, so because I'm not that big guy into the arts community, so I might not recognize them. For those who are like myself who are listening, can you tell us just a little bit about each of these individuals in a bit more detail so that we appreciate who they are?
Yeah, so Megan Murphy, producer and director of the Unity film, she's been working with multiple agencies at a local level, so you might know her most noteworthy or most recently from the United Way campaigns that she did, and that was largely done in Peterborough. A couple of years ago, she came out with her own documentary film as well called Murphy's Law. And that was actually featured at a local Imagine event run by Greenwood Coalition a couple of years ago. So I think it's a really essence to bring in local filmmakers and directors just because they understand the community here. They understand the complexity of some issues. So them to put a voice to it and an image to it is really important to us. So,
yeah, the other voices that are also in the film are a number of people who have lived experience of drug use and are in some level of recovery, and just sharing their experience and their thoughts around what a community can do to help folks move forward toward recovery and what worked for them and what didn't. And you know, you hear a clear message that isolating and shaming people it comes through loud and clear to people who are struggling, and so hearing those things firsthand from I think it was five individuals that are featured in the film as well.
This film seems to come at a moment where we've watched almost like a jump to light speed for the issue of talking, at least on a more public, a more open level, about opioids and other issues in our community, but in particular the opioids. I know we've spoke back in the summertime and we were talking about this, and it felt very much like this was emerging at that time, and that's only about 4 or 5 months ago. What has happened over these 5 months to reach this point? We're going to watch this film. But what has happened over those 5 months that seems to have, you know, put rocket fuel into this issue within our community and talking about it? Because we're seeing, you know, Cobourg Council's doing stuff. There's something going before Cobourg Council on Monday night, which is a report about a large meeting that was held. The town's committing resources to this. I mean, this film's coming out. We're talking about it more. What's happened in the last 4 or 5 months that has really put this out as a more open discussion and a more open realization? I mean, we were talking about people in the downtown and the social media has been going on, but I think that's systemic of the fact that we're now talking about the fact that these people are out there and it's very real in our community.
So I think a number of things are coming together here. You know, it's what I've been calling a perfect storm of homelessness, sort of lack of capacity in some of the services. For a number of years, we've been saying, you know, if we keep on this pathway, this is going to turn into a crisis later in a number of these areas. And now we're there where these things are coming together. And so that, I think that's putting a particular urgency to things. And so just the question of shelter for people is really huge, because if you're if you get to the point where you're struggling with your mental health, you're struggling with addiction, you're not going to make improvement in that area when you're unsheltered. And we've talked about affordable housing and blah 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 for a whole bunch of years around here, and it's turned into very little, and so the folks who are most vulnerable in the housing spectrum are essentially falling off the bottom of a spectrum that hasn't kept up, and so that's a really significant part of this. And so some of what we're seeing or some of what we're experiencing is what we're seeing. We didn't see the extent of the drug problem when it was indoors, when people had shelter. But as that system has failed, we're seeing it in the streets more. I think Megan can speak more to the overall crisis with opioids and opioid poisoning as well, which is really ramping up, and the overdoses and deaths and so on.
Yeah, I would say that we've also kind of reached a tipping point. We see it more at a local level, but I think where the tipping point really happened was at a provincial and federal level, where there were a lot of communities facing some pretty desperate conditions in terms of opioid-related harm. So we are seeing now a lot more attention with our political leaders, as well as response plans. We've had cross-sectional partners come together to write some really great guiding frameworks or recommendations for a local provincial response. So I think we're reaching a point where people are becoming more aware of what's happening on a provincial landscape and starting to put a lens to their local community and having that greater awareness there as well.
Well, speaking of a local lens, and I understand that you've got a speaker on Monday mm-hmm. as well, Dave Meslin. Can you tell us a bit about him and mm-hmm. what he's going to be talking about and how it relates to this film that we're going to be premiering?
Sure. Monday night at Venture 13 is the next in our series of Community 101 events. And this is something that Greenwood Coalition has been hosting for maybe 4 years now, something like that. And this year we did it in partnership with the United Way, doing some more high-profile events. And we had Jesse Thistle come in to talk about his book in September. And this is the next. So Dave Meslin published his book, Tear Down, Rebuilding Democracy from the Ground Up, in, I think it came out in May of this year. And he was kind of pulled into a lot of talk shows during the recent federal election because of his perspective on kind of our democracy. This isn't Greenwood Coalition getting political here or getting more political or getting unnecessarily political. I'm not sure how to navigate that. But that's not what this is about, or it's not about party politics. What Dave is interested in, Dave is a Toronto artist activist. He did a great TED talk about 3 or 4 years ago about apathy in the system, and his focus is on citizen engagement, people participating in shaping their community and moving away from this model that we've had where we elect people every 4 years to do something. We have no idea what they're doing or how that relates to our lives, and then we have an argument about it and throw them out the next 4 years later. And that's not good governance, and that's not a way forward for communities. So our interest in Dave's work is about how do we get a community involved in building the kind of better community that we want it to be, not waiting for someone in some office somewhere to do it for us.
It was interesting. I was reading part of the book, and one of the quotes that sort of stood out to me was he says, "It's hard to change the world if you can't change a municipal bylaw."
Exactly.
So what does that mean to both of your initiatives, to Greenwood and to the drug strategy? Mm. I mean, how does that really translate to in your perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as a drug strategy, I think when we look at our partner agencies and the community residents that are quite interested in a part of the drug strategy, I think we need to look at it as them having a lot of resources and answers to the issues. And I think even we rely and we also partner with our municipal governments and our councillors that sit on those governments. So I think there is a really great opportunity for engagement. I don't think it has to be either or. I think it can be both, where we can be active and work closely with our municipalities and even our provincial governments if we need to. So I think there's a great new democracy or a great avenues for engaged citizenship. And we hope that showing the film and also having Dave Meslin there to speak, we can start to kind of parse out what that means to Cobourg and what that could mean for the larger county as well.
And Dave, would you like to add?
Yeah, one of the things that appealed to me about Dave's book that really resonated was he started off by talking about the whole drain the swamp chant from the last American election, and he said the reality is we probably can't or don't want to drain the swamp, but the swamp is actually needs to be looked at in a different way. We do have a swamp, but if we think of it as a wetland instead, that is a complex ecosystem, and that ecosystem needs to be in balance. That ecosystem has many parts. sorts. And to have a healthy ecosystem, it creates an environment that's healthy for everyone. And I think that's a really good analogy to think about what we're doing and what the way forward is. It's not an either or, as Megan says. It's a complex process that we all have a role to play in, but it won't be healthy if we sit it out.
I want to thank both of you for being here, and I want to encourage all our listeners to show up Monday at 7 p.m. at Venture 13 for a really interesting film. I'm sure it'll be fascinating and help us better understand how yarn and poles help us build a community, but also to hear Dave Meslin speak about what we can do locally to make a difference in our community. So thank you very much for that.
Our pleasure, Rob.
Thank you.
Next week, Northumberland Hills Hospital CEO Linda Davis is coming in to talk to us about new funding announced for the hospital and what it means to services. Also, we'll be touching on major changes to the healthcare system in Ontario and getting updates on the health team application and the new building we heard about last spring that was supposed to be launched this fall. So please join me. And I want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. If you have any suggestions about guests you'd like to hear on the show, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com with your ideas. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This, or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at @rwash. I will read out a selection of the comments on next week's show. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you'll find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the next week you will continue to consider this.